and they kill the Indians, and they lied to them and told them, and they would kill them. And the reason they were able to do that is because they believed that if you weren't Christian, you weren't a person. That's right. A human being.
Oh, yes. Religion was used to wicked
people. Oh, my God. And then it goes into the whole slavery issue. Virginia Richmond was like the major slave trader.
If you can
traitor.
Say somebody's not a human being, if you can put them into that category, anything will pass.
But your beliefs...
Or if it doesn't have a soul. Oh, sorry.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Descartes. You know, the animals and machines.
Spanish believed they had souls, but they were there to save their souls. And they rounded up the Indians and brought them into the mission system. And treated them very brutally. Very brutally. And I didn't know any of this.
It's not a happy history.
I grew up in California and didn't really know the history of our founding, which was Mexico, number one. And number two, Spanish.
I didn't know Mexico, Spain.
And then how they treated the Indians. We weren't told that. I had to find that out later. And the boy that made me mad, and that got me involved.
Yes.
And I've cost the diocese a lot of money. You know, what I found out in later life is that one person can do a great deal. If everyone says, oh, it's too much for me, I can't do anything, I'm only one. No, that's wrong. You got your facts lined up, you can do a great deal.
Absolutely.
In our system, at least. We were killing Indians with impunity until 1810.
I mean, it was really about, this was a land war. They wanted the land.
Mm-hmm.
And the Indians wanted the land, and they must go. Religion was a smoke screen, you know.
Well, don't get me started or I'll cry. So there we are.
The indentured servant system in America, in colonial America, was the whole thing. In order for people to get here from, especially from England in those days, you had to come up with a lot of money, and most of the people that wanted to come here couldn't do that, so they borrowed. So the aristocrats here, large landowners would loan the money for their passage, and then they would have to be an indentured servants for 10, 15 years.
I mean, it's shocking. Shocking exploitation.
It is. And we hear none of it when we're taught our history.
But yet, America has given opportunities and a better life to so many people.
I think so. I do.
What a time.
And I hope we don't forget.
I mean, all those families that left from Sicily, what would their lives have been like back in Sicily?
Mm-hmm. Or Ireland.
America genuinely is the land of opportunity.
But these are organic economies. Mm-hmm. That's the thing that we don't get in the West too well. That... See, we base so much on growth.
Yeah.
Everything has to be...
Yeah,
growth.
That's it.
We don't. If the economy isn't growing, then we're really freaked out. It's something that's like. But there are economies that have worked and functioned for thousands of years that have no idea about growth. Mm-hmm. They're just system of you know production and distribution among the population. Of course, it's stratified. Not stratified. That's not the right word. I think. Hereditary, you know, it's hard to break out of, you know, what your family has done for hundreds and thousands of years.
And a lot of it's expectation. I mean, that's, you know, growing up in that environment, that's what you expect to be. Is what
I hope we make it. I hope we make it. If I prayed, I would pray for that. And I people that put us down, that criticize as I travel and I hear that, I say, no, pray for us. You don't want us to fail. We are the light. You don't want us to fail. But there are people who, oh, ha ha, you know, you're screwing up pretty badly, and we have. But yeah, we will. We will. But the pendulum swings. It just does.
And what's astounding to me is that there's so many people that are being marginalized, and I mean, the atrocities that are still going on around the world. When you think about what we know and where we are, it seems unconscionable that such acts could still be taking place. Mm-hmm. It's like, hasn't the world consciousness gotten to a point where it understands this? And it breaks my heart that this can still be going on. And, you know, I generally don't watch the news. Mm-hmm. I would be in tears all the time. Mm-hmm. And I just can't do it. And I put out the suggestion that if there's anything I need to know, someone will tell me. And invariably that happens. Someone will say, did you see the article? Mm-hmm. And of course I didn't. But they'll tell me about it. And I'm
Thank you.
I stopped about 11 years ago taking the paper or watching the news, and the quality of my life by controlling what I take in. I'd see an article about a child, something happening to a child that was just horrible. And I'd be sitting at my desk, and I'd start to tear up thinking about it. I'm like, it's not even mine. Why am I?
Because of the empathy. As an educator, I don't have any choice. I must.
Right.
I must tune into it
cognizant.
So that I'm aware of what they are aware of. And I think you've got to be careful. I mean, I'd love to go up to the mountaintop, stay there, go in the cave. I don't have much choice. And in some ways, each of us have to come out of the cave, off the mountaintop. We've got to get out. And you found your way,
right.
But and you can restrict. Because sometimes that can make someone dysfunctional, like yourself. If you're constantly tearing up and you can't handle it,
right.
It's not very good for you.
Right.
Yeah, so you found what works for you. But again, as an educator, I don't have any choice.
It's on the same situation.
Is it the Buddhists who say, before enlightenment, chop wood, carry water. After enlightenment, chop wood, carry water. You still are part of this world.
And what's the difference?
There is a difference.
Your feet are just a little bit off the ground.
But you still have to do the work.
Yeah, that's a Buddhist. That's a Buddhist aphorism. Yeah.
I love that. I do.
Similar to that.
Maybe because of my Wicca friends.
Mm-hmm. Before enlightenment, under men and mountains are mountains.
Mm-hmm. You still have
after
to.
After enlightenment.
You still have to take out the trash, folks. You do.
Mm-hmm. You need some reminder.
And you can say, oh, I'm so spiritual.
Yeah,
you can become inflated, which we all have. And then
you need wine, though?
No.
Oh. You'll be broken.
Wine. What about you?
Me? No, I'm fine. Do you want some more?
I want more.
Oh, yes,
please.
More here.
That's Sagittarius.
Preserve the wine. Preserve the data.
Sagittarius.
Gosh, I wish I had preserved the data. That's
Sagittarius is clumsy.
Really?
We are.
So,
oh, yeah, we are.
No, I'm okay.
Very
Sagittarius,
clumsy.
Sagittarius, when is your birth?
November 28th. I'm on the cusp of Scorpio.
Ah.
So that's the thing in there. Yeah. But, and I don't do anger well. Unless my Sag takes over.
So what are our sun signs at the table here? Let's start with that.
Yes. Mm. Yes, what is yours?
Scorpio, on the cusp of Libra.
On the cusp of Libra,
what
there
is that?
You go.
That is what is your birthday?
October 26th.
But you've got a, but you're
Cancer,
screwed up.
Cancer rising and Capricorn moon.
But that's Scorpio.
So I'll go, because those are the three kind of biggies, I think.
Capricorn?
Moon.
Moon, oh, Capricorn moon.
Capricorn in the past, Cancer in the future. Rising sign has a lot to do more with the soul. Sun sign is kind of personality present.
Well, while you're on Cancer rising.
Yes.
I'm Aquarius.
Mm-hmm.
Cancer rising.
Poor baby.
What
Aries moon.
Aries? Aries? Aquarius?
Oh, mm-hmm. Dear.
What date?
February 1st.
Good.
You're screwed
early
up.
Aquarius.
You poor thing.
Close to Capricorn.
And yet?
You're okay.
Yeah,
and yet you're okay.
Okay.
Wow. But the Aries must be just giving you that power to go.
We love the home, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
Cancer.
Wherever it happens to be.
Mm-hmm.
I have Sagittarius as my sun sign, mm-hmm. but I'm on the cusp of Scorpio, and all my planets are in Scorpio, which really throws astronomers, or astrologers, excuse me. I'm Scorpio in everything except Sagittarius, and they're very different. So I'm very screwed up.
No, you're not.
Oh, yeah, I am. And even in Sagittarius, the horse and the man, the animal and the man out there, and I have an assistant who's like Andrea. She does the basic. I want the big picture. I don't care what's between here and there. I just want to get there. And but Scorpio's got that thing, and when I get mad, I get really mad, and that's when I take on the Catholic Church. I do.
Well, that's a good exercise.
But we poor babies, so many of us are combinations, and it's difficult. You've got to work it out.
So what's your rising and your moon? Do you know?
I don't know. I know everything's in Scorpio.
Okay, next.
My whole thing is
next.
Scorpio.
Next.
I was lucky to be born on Mother's Day, May 11th, and Taurus, of course.
What is May? Is it Aries?
Yes, Virgo?
Taurus.
Taurus.
Oh, you're a good Aries sign. Oh, I love Aries signs.
And rising is Libra.
No, all right.
And moon in Aquarius. Mars and Venus both in Aries at the same time.
Well, that's where the energy that sparks in there. Yeah, you bet. I was in love with an Aries one time. It was disastrous. Whenever anyone says Aries, I always
let's keep
think
moving
of,
here. No. Let's keep
it's
moving.
A fire sign.
Next.
Yeah, it is. I'm a fire sign too, but we're not compatible with Aries.
Okay.
Anna. Aquarius.
Huh?
But on the cusp of Pisces, with Pisces rising.
Moon in Capricorn. Moon in Capricorn.
She will ground our table. You will ground us.
Cancer rising, Capricorn moons,
Aquarius.
Capricorn moons,
Aquarius.
Interesting.
You and I.
Aquarius, yeah.
But Pisces rising.
Yeah, I'm just reveling in being in a group where everyone knows their stuff.
Oh yeah.
But,
you have to find out.
What's that?
Okay, but the sun sign is easy. That's what.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What is it again? Yours?
Oh, Aquarius.
Aquarius.
Yep.
I've always thought that the job, the major job, the task of Sagittarius is to make Capricorn laugh. Because we're Jovian.
Right.
You're
and
Jovian.
We're flip and we, you
yes,
know.
Yes, yes, and you're very sociable.
Oh, yeah.
That's what's right. Capricorn is Saturn?
What Sagittarius is very
Capricorn,
sociable.
I will hire a Capricorn to cover my back.
Capricorns are obsessed with detail.
Oh, yes, and I'm not. Sag is out there.
That's right.
And we need you Capricorns to
well,
pull
I'm Aquarius,
us back.
Well, I'm Aquarius, but I've got a Capricorn moon.
But we will plunge off the precipice if we don't have an Earth sign to bring us back.
Yes, yes.
And I know that.
Yeah, yeah.
What's the ruling planet of Capricorn?
The moon planet?
The ruling planet.
Saturn.
No.
Saturn. It
no.
is Saturn.
Oh, Capricorn. Saturn, yes.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Saturn.
You're the first sign on the...
This is what we were talking about the harmony of the spheres. It was. I mentioned this at the conference. It was an experiment that I saw done at Yale in 78, actually. Where they took Kepler's formulations
Kepler.
And
oh,
applied it
me, but I
on a computer.
Kepler
and
is
came up with the music, the sounds of all the of
each of the planets.
Of each the tone of each planet.
Yes. I've listened to that. It's amazing.
And it's very interesting.
Really interesting.
It was abbreviated so you could hear actually if you really put it into real time it would be in millions of seconds because it would be the ascending tone to the not the solstice, actually the perihelion, which is January 6th or so, and then the descending tone to the aphelion, which would be after the summer solstice in our part of the solar system. problem, I should say. But it's very strange because I asked this to Jocelyn, and he said, yes, we could actually detect, even in that scale of time, what was the rising tone and what was the falling tone.
Interesting. Wow.
It can be done. It would take an oscilloscope, which I don't have the equipment, but I know it could be done.
I have been floored by Kepler.
Bored?
Oh, yes. Because he did his work. He did the math.
He was a mathematician?
For everyone up to that point, and he didn't have the calculus. He didn't.
No, he didn't.
He did it the hard and the long way.
Right.
He is amazing. There ought to be a statue to him everywhere.
Yeah.
But we don't hear of him very much.
Well, he tried to put it into the Aristotelian circle, and he had all the tables that Tycho Brahe had left him. And
student.
Tycho Brahe didn't really just take the heliocentric thing. He just did the observations and recorded them. And Kepler
did
looked at it and goes, it doesn't work. The circle doesn't. It has to be a circle, but it has to be. It had to be the heliocentric, but it didn't work according to the observations. And then he tried to,
In other words, it was anomalous, and through the anomalies.
Yeah.
Charles Sanders Peirce uses him as the perfect example of someone who abducts the solution. Abducts. And so his discoveries of the ellipse, all of that is related to his ability to retroduct, use novel reasoning, intuition. It's not induction,
yes.
It's not generalization,
yes.
And it's not deduction. Some people argue, they think, well, he induced. No, he abducted, and that's what happens with these geniuses. Einstein, David Bohm, all of them, that's what they do. They know how to.
Would you talk about Kepler at a future conference?
Well,
we've got to bring in Kepler.
But you can, yeah.
Newton,
Kepler was wonderful.
Kepler.
If you'd gone, well, you were in Prague.
Mm-hmm.
That's Kepler. Kepler had his place there in Prague.
Well, we need to do it again. I think since then I've become more appreciative of Kepler.
You know what? I've got five lectures or four lectures in the next 5 days.
What?
Yeah. A farewell.
You better get your dinner.
Well, I'm just—I didn't mean to be a party pooper, but I need to leave some money and probably go, unless we're.